This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right. So let's move now to something that David does really well, and that's, among other things, and that's the prospect pool. And there are a lot of prospects that you might not have heard of, but, you know, it's interesting. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this is based on the recent trades. And the Stars have had such success, not just in drafting, but the development of players so fast. Wyatt Johnston, way too fast to get to the NHL. Amazing. Logan Stankoven, same. Maverick Bork, same. Liam Bischel, same. Jake Ottinger went back down, but it was still a quick development from Boston University to Texas to, you know, making the squad. Jason Robertson, same. So there were a lot of players that came up real quick through the system. And, you know, I know Stars fans because we're used to it, but this isn't always the case. Sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years to come up. So let's talk about some of the rankings. And at the top of your rankings, we're going to go to the Ontario Hockey League. And two things. First, when we get started, David, I wanted to ask you because I love looking at prospects. And before we get into specific Stars, do you take into account that it's junior hockey and there's so much open ice to roam? You know, do you look at those? Because sometimes I see players and juniors and they look absolutely amazing and then they get to the AHL and they're stifled.
Well, that's always been the biggest thing, right? Whenever it comes to projecting prospects, which is, it's the thing that you listen to kind of anybody that talks, any, like whether it's professional scouts, whether it's people doing public work like Scott Wheeler, Will from Scouchin, et cetera, which is pace. That's the biggest shift. It's one of the reasons why, you know, you'll even see prospects struggle in the AHL, because the AHL, while it is not necessarily the most talented league, it does have something resembling an NHL pace. You know, you even saw like someone like Rupa Hintz, right, kind of struggled with you know, being productive down there in the AHL. And so with a lot of the, with junior hockey, that's always the biggest thing. Pace is just simply much slower. You don't have you don't really have necessarily like the systems in place that establish, you know, the kind of rules of engagement and, you know, making sure that players are, you know, comfortable along the walls, for example, like it is in at the NHL level, where a lot of it's just wall work and trenches and just, you know, grit, grime and grease. Right. And so with junior hockey, you know, you just simply don't have that pace. What you have is, you know, just a kind of a small kind of like group of extremely talented players that tend to have their own gravity. And that's what propels, you know, the, you know, kind of best teams to be successful, which is they have like a Gavin McKenna or a Macklin Celebrini and so forth. Yep. And so, yeah, pace is really just the big, and I would argue like only thing.
Yeah, and I'm also fascinated by the decision now of players whether or not to go junior route or go to the NCAA, because probably over the last 5 to 10 years, the NCAA has picked up so much steam as far as how good college hockey is. But a team that's fascinating to watch in the juniors, because they have a few stars, is the Barrie Colts, and they're of the Ontario Hockey League. And that's your number one prospect, Tristan Bertucci. Nice size at 6'2", a defenseman. Tell us about Bertucci. He was a pretty high draft pick for the Stars, and what you like about him.
It's, you know, Bertucci is another, like, I feel like this is going to be the case of a lot of picks with Dallas, you know, beyond like the, you know, Johnston, Stankovens, and Borks of the world, which is that, you know, like the player, didn't like the pick. And so Bertucci is definitely a player that's had to grow on me because I didn't necessarily see what the ceiling was for this player. And now you're really seeing it, which is that Bertucci was kind of drafted as sort of like a, I'm trying to think of like a good NHL comparable, but, you know, kind of drafted as one of these hybrid shutdown defenders, right? He's a really, if you want, like, to me, Bertucci is kind of worth the price of admission alone just to watch his skate in. He's just liquid in all three zones, but it's, you know, it's kind of the, in some ways it's funny because kind of the issue that a lot of people have with Heiskanen, where it's like, you see how talented he is, how quick he moves, and you're like, why can't he put up more points? Bertucci doesn't necessarily have that top speed or anything like that, but he does have genuine blue chip talent when it comes to skating. And so sometimes you kind of see that with Bertucci as well, where it's like, man, this guy isn't scoring like 50, 60 points in the OHL. And he kind of like almost sort of got there this year. Granted, an injury took him out basically for the regular season. You know, he's going to end up probably only registering 50 games. But he really kind of, he for one, plays on the top power play unit when he was healthy, and the top penalty, you know, PK unit. And it's easy to see why. He's just so mature in the defensive zone, moving the puck, even if he doesn't necessarily have like creative skill. He has functional skill in the offensive zone, but where he really excels is transition and facilitating the puck up ice. And I think certain things that were kind of there early on weren't there as consistently. And it's, you know, it's one of the reasons why he's the assistant captain, why the coaches love him, which is that he's just kind of does everything and does everything extremely well. It's very easy to envision someone like Bertucci on like a bottom pair in Dallas, you know, in the future.
His teammate Emil Hemming was the Stars' top first round draft pick last year, and bit of controversy because there were some players around Hemming that I know you thought that the Stars should pick instead. The Finnish player wanted to come and play in North American juniors to get adjusted to the game. And I don't want to call it a slow start, but he has certainly picked up steam in the second half and playing much better. So what have you seen out of Hemming's game and the improvement as he gets adjusted to the North American style and game?
It's tough, man. I have a hard time talking about Hemming without sounding kind of negative or overly critical. Because, yeah, you were talking about players, right, that were picked after him. You know, I was on Twitter screaming Igor Chernyshov, who played in Russia, transitioned. I think most people had him in the first round. And sure enough, Chernyshov is actually, if he had been healthy, Chernyshov would have been on pace for 148 points in his post-draft year. That's actually more than Wyatt Johnston in his post-draft year. Same leagues, OHL. So yes, I have a bone to pick with the scouting staff. But, you know, at the same time, again, like I want to accept that, hey, you know, this is who they picked. Is he any good? Does he have a future? And is he, you know, a projectable NHL player? I think the first thing that's important for people to kind of realize is that Hemming's production really is just bad. Like there's no reason to sugarcoat it. Like it's not, he has 47 points right now in 59 games. Remy Elie, who was of course also a second round pick many years ago. We probably all remember him. He was over a point per game in his post draft year. And I don't think anybody would think of Remy Elliott as this like slick, dynamic winger. So Hemming's production really is bad. And yes, Barry has been an anemic offensive team, but they are a really good team. So Hemming's production is a red flag. However, watching him, it's easy to see how Dallas kind of, you know, got intoxicated by his skills. Again, he has a pro ready frame. He's 6'2", almost 190 pounds. And one of the things that I feel like I noticed throughout the year is something I had been saying at the Substack, which is, you know what, you know, transition to North America, I'm not going to look at his first half like that's a real assessment. I'm going to look at his second half, kind of like you mentioned. And he was much better in the second half. Excuse me. Not only better in the second half, but it was quite evident to me, or has been evident to at least these amateur eyes, that Hemming was sacrificing the development of his shooting, which we already know he's good at, in like at the cost of trying to develop other parts of his game, like his playmaking, like his play processing. Even his skating looked like a little bit better. He's a player that already has, you know, solid foot speed. He's not an afterburner or anything like that. But, you know, for a guy that's 6'2", he moves quick, plays quick. And so I think what I've seen on the ice still gives me a lot of room for optimism, no matter how much, you know, you hear me complain about who was picked after him that I think should have been picked.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And I'm just, you know, I'm hoping for the best. I'm interested to see how much influence Yuri Lehtinen had on this pick, or, you know, if it was just the European scouting. I mean, they do love their Finns. So it is fascinating. I thought he looked actually pretty good in the preseason when he played, but, you know, development's interesting, and, you know, taking it to the AHL is a different level. I am glad that, yeah, he has looked better. But I think we also have to remember, and although the styles of European and, let's say, Soviet hockey have certainly gelled more towards the North American game, there still is a difference. And there's a difference between being in a new land and finding yourself. And so there's just a lot to get adjusted to. So hopefully he continues that adjustment on the upswing. For your third prospect, you have Ayrton Martino from Clarkston in the NCAA. Interesting wing prospect for the Stars.
Yeah, so Martino, I think I don't know if anybody like heard me talking about this stat. I actually don't think I mentioned it on social media, but I wrote about it at the Substack, which is that Martino has not gone all of March without a point. Actually, I take that back. In the at least in the quarterfinals, right, that he just played against Harvard, which they won, he had 4 points in 3 games in the ECAC quarterfinals. Prior to that, did not go a single game in the month of March without a point. And so there's just like so much to like about Martino. The player that I think people, again, I hate comps, right? Because even identical twins were extremely different hockey players, right? Of course, talking about the Sedins, right? So as much as I despise comps, I realize like for the purpose of a casual conversation, it kind of helps to kind of help, especially people that don't follow prospects, visualize kind of what this player might be like. And he reminds me a lot of Maverick Bork. Really good on the forecheck, really good playmaker. And like Bork with the, like last season in the AHL, right, Bork's calling card was playmaking. But really, really developed. Granted, he'd always scored a lot of goals, but scoring goals in juniors, especially in the Q versus scoring goals in the AHL, very different. And that's exactly what happened with Martino. Like, until this season, Martino's previous high in goals was 9. This year, he has 24, right? So, in addition to the fact that he still has the playmaking chops, and it's just been the reason for why Clarkson University has been like a decent team. And so there's just a lot to like. And, you know, granted, he's still unsigned, right? So that's really important to point out. But there's just a lot to like about his game because his game really looked kind of smell. He passes the sniff test when it comes to maturity in a prospect, how well they read the game, how well, whether or not they can adjust to pace of play. And I think whenever a player has that intelligence and that spatial awareness, these tend to bode well in terms of kind of moving on up to the higher levels.
At number four is the 2023 fourth round pick by Dallas on a very good Boston College Hockey East squad. He also played for Team USA in the World Juniors, Aram Manidian.
You were selling Boston College short, by the way, with the very good. No, this is Boston College. I mean,
they're great.
James Hoggins.
Hockey East is all great.
Yeah, true. He's on an absolutely stacked team. James Hoggins is going to go top three, or certainly should go top three in this upcoming draft. Ryan Leonard, brilliant Washington pick. Teddy Stiga, a lot of other names. And Manidian is a player that I think he's sort of I've always been high on him. This is a pick that I really did love at the time. And, the thing with Manidian is that he is kind of like with Bertucci. And I think there's maybe a case to be made for Manidian over Bertucci, but I think given what Bertucci has shown lately, I just kind of have him up there. But Manidian is kind of the same thing. He's a player that very, very like clean, smooth skater, very agile, gets the puck out of the zone. And even though he's not going to be a puck mover or a puck rusher or anything like that, sort of has that kind of the DNA of, you know, your sort of your Joel Hanleys, who's doing quite well in Calgary. Granted, Calgary is being fueled by Dustin Wolf, but still, you know, like Joel Hanley playing like serious minutes, stick tap to that guy. But Manidian has that kind of game where he just, you know, makes those like simple plays, and he does it with something that I think is very essential for a defenseman in the modern day, which is good skating. I feel like good defenders need to have good skating in the modern NHL. And so offense, I don't think is ever going to necessarily get there, but that's not what he's going to make it's not going to be how he makes an NHL roster to begin with.
But one of the things that Sean and I talked about on the podcast, I asked about Manidian in the World Juniors, and he really didn't think he was too much of a factor. So what would you say to that when the competition got greater? And granted, the competition at Boston College is superb. I just mentioned that with Hockey East. But does that factor into any of your development equation?
Yes and no. I mean, like sometimes you see, for one, I agree with Sean, like Manidian wasn't good in the World Juniors. However, he had a much better, the last two games, I think he was quite good. So I think with these tournaments, you know, it's not just about kind of the impression they left you with. It's also about kind of the tale of two halves, right? I mean, were they a player that started slow and ended awesome? Were they just always terrible? Were they always good? Were they consistent? Were they not? And so forth. And I think with these big tournaments, I think you can always give players a little leeway just kind of based on the adjustment to a very different environment, a different format. Hemming was the same way. Terrible to start the World Juniors. Was excellent. I think he had 4 points in his last two games to end it, right? So I think there are certain lessons to be kind of learned from how a player kind of plays in these big moments. But I don't think it affects sort of the bottom line of like, you know, whether or not a player is projectable. I mean, you see plenty of like great prospects that don't have a great World Juniors that go on to have successful NHL careers. And so it's worth considering, but, you know, only to a certain degree.
You round out your top five with an Ivy Leaguer, George Figueras, sophomore at Cornell. And I think people have to understand that I just talked about Hockey East. There's also a high level of hockey in the Ivy League. And one of my favorite stories, and I've always tried to compare it, and I guess this is a good time to talk about it, is Ted Donato, who is from the Boston area, when talked about, I guess there was an anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. And I've told this story on Spits and Suds before, and he said, that's not the greatest Miracle on Ice. Ted Donato played in the NHL. And they said, what do you mean? that's not the greatest miracle on ice. He goes, the greatest miracle on ice is me graduating from Harvard. And that's not funny, David. That's a great story.
It's, you know, it's.
All right, fine. Get back to George Figueras. Jeez. I mean, you know, we're trying to provide some personality in this podcast, you know, some laughs, yucks.
I don't think you're going to find a whole lot of people that like wanted to hear about like Harvard. I think that's the thing.
All right. George Figueras, Cornell University. I believe he's a sophomore defenseman.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about your non-joke.
I might edit this out. If you hear this, Bits and Suds listeners, it's because I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm just leaving it in.
Yeah. Well, you will leave it in. I think it's worth, we need to get the full Spittle experience for better and for worse. I didn't think it was bad. It was just like, it was a kind of very suburban dad sort of esque joke.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, is that an insult? I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it's fine. I'm not a dad, but thank you. By the way, David, are you going to go see the new pirate movie with your wife? Be careful. It's rated R.
You see what I mean? Like I was not even going to crack a smile, but you know, your cheerful attitude is enough.
I did the podcast at 12:30 in the morning last night. What can I say? George Figueras, sophomore defenseman, Cornell. Good hockey.
Man, you were by yourself. People probably, but I mean, do fans really want to listen about like George Figueras?
He's your top five prospect.
Okay, so one of the things that I want to make abundantly clear, and I feel like I'm pretty clear about this at the Substack, which is that, listen, like Dallas doesn't have any tier one prospects. Zero, like there is no one on the, you know, Bischel, Bork, Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson tier. And I think that goes without saying. I think more or less people kind of recognize that. So that's worth keeping in mind. But Figueras is a player that is somebody that was – that I didn't really have on my radar really until recently. I think in part because, well, for one, I'm just one dude. I can only watch so much lower level hockey.
Yep.
And two, you know, like usually what interests me in watching a lot of this is not just making sure I cover everything Dallas Stars, not just related, but adjacent. And oftentimes that means, hey, like, I'm more inspired to cover the Barrie Colts because they have three Dallas Stars prospects, right? Between Bertucci, Gardner, and Hemming. And there was just like nobody else on Cornell that was interested. And so he kind of fell by the wayside. But he's one of the rare puck rushers that Dallas has in the system who kind of plays that real throwback style, a good top speed, and is able to kind of really sort of command an offensive zone when he has the puck on his stick. Now, that's not to say that he's necessarily an offensive defenseman, because you look at his point totals and nothing really stands out. But the effort and the profile is there, and that's why I have him top five. In part because, well, you know, Stars prospect pool is very, very thin, but also because I think he's an interesting player, and I think that's the case with a lot of Dallas's prospects. Sure, some of them are not NHL level and will likely never crack an NHL roster spot. But just because that's not what I predict doesn't mean that the potential isn't there under the right, you know, with the right development or with the right breaks. Because a lot of these players are interesting. I think Figueres is a really great example of a player that is under the radar, but that has a skill set that Dallas can use, not just because he's a right shot defender and has like decent size at 6'2", but because like I think he has the skills. I mean, that's something that I feel like we've been asking for a long time. I mean, how many of us wanted Sean Walker last year in addition to Tanev? A lot of people,
true,
right? It's you know, if you define Heiskanen as a shutdown defender, then Thomas Harley is really your only puck mover. So it would kind of be nice to have another one. And Figueres kind of really fits that bill as somebody with that potential.
So you do have, I'm going to jump the list, and at number nine, you have Matthew Semenoff, which is fascinating. He was the teammate of Logan Stankoven, drafted by the Stars with the Kamloops Blazers. This year, he has played with both the Texas Stars and the Idaho Steelheads. Good year at Kamloops, but really playing fourth line minutes for the Texas Stars. Why don't you talk about Semenoff?
So, one of the things I should also be clear about is that I only count people when it comes to prospects and prospect rankings. I'm only counting people that are below the age of 23. That's what, you know, most people in the industry do because, well, you know, if it takes a person longer to develop, well, then that's usually a sign that they're just, you know, not going to ever make the NHL. So just want to be clear about that. You know, Semenoff is only 21. So one of the reasons why he's in my top 10, in addition to the fact that, like, I didn't really want to cut off my list at, like, number seven or something like that. But the thing about Semenoff is that I think there is still something there in terms of somebody that can finish plays, right? Somebody that's a quality shooter, has some passing chops, and he just, like, simply hasn't been given that opportunity in the AHL. Now, that's not a criticism of like Neil Graham or anything like that. He's done a really great job. It always kind of like low-key bothered me that they didn't try him next to Logan Stankoven, despite his history with him in the WHL. But it's hard to take Semenoff's kind of lack of production seriously when he just isn't getting any minutes. And so despite that, I do think he has a little bit more potential than, you know, some of the other players that are a little bit older. And I could very easily see Semenoff developing into, you know, for example, like a Cameron Hughes or a Curtis McKenzie in terms of, you know, somebody that can really take the reins offensively. Because I still think he has a really solid shot. And I think that's kind of part of what it will allow him to be a bigger factor for the Texas Stars moving forward if he's able to crack, you know, the top six, for example. I mean, the thing about Semenoff is that, like, his skating is just so bad. Like, I don't Luke Chilcote is going to need to do like some put in some overtime to turn Semenoff into, you know, maybe not like a good skater, but just like a better skater. Because that's the thing that's holding him back the most. You can point to the Jason Robertsons of the world. Listen, like, Jason Robertson is still not a great skater, you know, like, he's he's improved enough that it's been allowed him to tap into all the other aspects of his game at an NHL pace, and that's huge. But that's huge for somebody with like true game-breaking talent. Semenov doesn't have that, but I do think if he improves his skating, like, he's absolutely going to be a guy that you'll notice a lot more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.